Join me in 2 Peter as we continue our walk through this wonderful pastoral letter to the churches. Chapter 1, I'll pick up at verse 12. I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to Him from the majestic glory saying, "This is my Son, whom I love. With Him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with Him on the sacred mountain. And we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The wonderful word of our Lord God Almighty, given to us by the Holy Spirit. Christianity, our faith, is a faith that is contemporary. It is a faith that is current. It is a faith that is up to date. It is a faith made for today. It is a faith designed for today's people. It's a faith that is never out of style, never out of date. The Westminster Confession says that it is our faith. It speaks more directly to the Holy Scriptures. It says that the Bible is good for all faith and practice. Notice the present tense of that statement. The Bible, the book of our faith, is good for all faith and practice. It is current. It is contemporary. It is for today. But Christianity is a faith built on the past. Our faith's very foundation is secured by events that occurred in history. The acts that secure our present and our future were accomplished in years long, long past. So it is necessary that we constantly be reminded of exactly what happened. It is necessary that we should have our minds refreshed of those things and their importance. And then we always need to remember these things, these past events. Peter says here, he uses the good sermon style of using similar letters for three words: remind, refresh, and remember. In verse 12, he says, "I will always remind you of these things." Well, our first question should be, what things? Peter, what are you concerned with in your reminding us? Verse 10. "Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things..." Well, we don't yet have our target. What things? What these things are they referring to? So we must go further back into the text. Verse 5, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith..." And we have his list. goodness, perseverance, brotherly kindness, love. So Peter is saying, it is right for me to remind you of these things so that you might make your election sure, which we spoke of last week. But also note here that it says that he will always remind us of that, even though we are firmly grounded, that we're firmly established in these things. We know the truth, but Peter says it's necessary to remind you. As I said to the children, how many times have you heard the story of the creation? How many times have we told the Christmas story? How many times have we gone through the crucifixion? How many times? But yet it's necessary. Because God knows who we are. Following this, he says, it's right to refresh your memory. Now, Peter is an old man at the writing of this letter. He says here, it's about time for me to put this tent away, this earthly dwelling. Remember Jesus' words to him? He told him how he would die one day. So Peter's always had that in his mind, I believe. He knew that day was coming. He probably is somewhat surprised that he's lived to the ripe age he has, given his line of work. But he knows that time's coming. So he says, I think it's right to refresh your memory. But also here he shows his pastoral concern. He shows his pastoral concern for his people, for the folks who will receive this letter. He's concerned for the well-being of the people. So he reminds them. He says it's right to refresh your memory. His objective here is to bring to mind those things that they have learned in the past. Things very well known to them. Because of the many things that go across the mind each day, it's easy to forget. All of you know me. If you want me to do an announcement, you better write it down and hand it to me as I walk in the door. It won't happen. Sorry. But many of you are the same way. There's so much in our lives. There's so many things competing for our time. There's so many things competing for our mind's energy. It's easy to say, well, yeah, I've read that before. I'll put that away. And before you know it, this is away for too long. So it's a constant thing. Peter says that we are to have these things refreshed in our minds so that we might be encouraged, so that it might lift us up, so that we are reminded of the strong foundation we have in Jesus Christ. And then he closes all this and says, we must remember. Please remember. Please remember. Remember what God has done. Remember what he has given you to do. Remember God's love shown to you by these acts in the past that established the foundation of our belief. Remember them. One of the complaints you hear of Christianity today is that it's old, that it's stale, that it's historic. There's nothing new in it. There are no new revelations. There are no new ways of worship, even though we try each day to create or design something new. They'll say, that was my parents' religion. I'm off in college now. I'm learning new things. How can something that is old and stale and written by men so many thousands of years ago have anything to do with today? Well, folks, those complaints are actually the attributes of our faith that give it its beauty. Now, I pray we don't call it stale and old, but it is historic. There are no new revelations, which should give us a great deal of trust and security in that our foundation is made, it's done, and God has nothing else to say to you. Everything he desires to say to you is here. There are no new revelations. It's been lived out. It's been experienced. Yes, it is the faith of my mother. Yes, it is the faith of my parents. And I like that because they taught me. And I live the same faith. It's been tried, tested, and true, and Just as the man of wisdom said, there is nothing new under the sun, even in our faith. As I stand here in the pulpit and preach every Sunday, I should never, ever say anything new. I should never say anything different than what Peter said. I should never say anything different than that which Paul preached. I should never preach anything different, and this is the part that's humbling, I should never preach anything different than what Jesus himself preached. Everything I say, you should be able to find right here. If you can't, I don't need to be here. A preacher today should not add anything to the Scriptures or take away anything from the Scriptures. In Revelation 22, verse 18, the Apostle John, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, I warn everyone who hears the words of this prophecy of this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. Pick a plague. God will add to him the plagues described, and if anyone takes words away from this book of the prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life in the holy city, which are described in this book. As a minister standing in this pulpit, preaching the word of God to his people, I won't risk preaching something that I cannot find in this book. Now, we may say things differently. We may give different illustrations. We may give different applications. But the essence must always be the same. Of Jesus and the Scripture, Peter says that we should be reminded. We should have our minds refreshed so that we will always remember. But what is the source of these things? Peter is calling on us to remember. This is vital. What is the source of the things Peter is encouraging us to remember? First, he says that it is not a source within cleverly invented stories. His source are not stories. They are not tales fabricated. Not just anything anyone wants to preach to suit their own desires. Personally, I am blessed that I was taught the expository style of preaching. Expository style of preaching means that I walk verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book, through this book, simply exposing what's here. I don't have to fabricate anything, which is wonderful. I just simply reveal what is here. Personally, I use what's called a plain style sermon that was invented by the Puritans, about 500 years ago. It served them well. It's an easy format. But I can't come up here and contrive stories. Second, Peter points out the sources that can be trusted. First of all, he gives himself an eyewitness account. Let me ask you a question, just a simple raising of the hand to answer. Do you believe there is a war in Iraq today? Do you believe that? Okay. Have any of you had an actual eyewitness on the premises account? I have to make sure Marvin's not here. Eyewitness account of that war. How many of you have had an eyewitness on the premises account of that war? Raise your hand. No one. Then how do you know that there is a war going on? How do you know? Because of someone else's eyewitness account. We see it on the news. We hear stories of our men and women who have returned. And so we put faith and trust in that eyewitness account. I put faith in Marvin Bennett when he comes back and tells me of the things that he experienced. I put faith in R.J. Gore at Erskine when he comes back and tells of the things he experienced in Iraq. I've not been there. I don't know it's fact. But I put faith in his account. Peter is saying, please put faith in my account. Put faith in me because I have witnessed. I have eyewitness account of the things of Jesus Christ. Here he particularly mentions one of the Transfiguration. He was with Jesus Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration when he was revealed in his glory. Peter is saying, I saw it. I can reveal to you what I saw. So what I write should be trusted, not stories. Thirdly, Peter gives us the prophets. Peter brings into his argument the word of the prophets. Now, he's speaking particularly about the Old Testament prophets. But notice how he portrays them. Because of Peter's eyewitness account, the words of the prophets and their prophecies are now being validated by Peter. Because what he was taught of the Old Testament scriptures, he saw come to pass. So not only do we have Peter's eyewitness account of what actually happened, he is saying what the Old Testament said would happen, I saw happen, so I tell you that that is true. So what should we be preaching and what should we be teaching? That which has the eyewitness account. That's the reason Peter called an apostle. That's the reason we should be very careful how we use that word today. There are no apostles alive today that would make Jesus over 2,000 years old. Impossible. Because apostle means eyewitness account. I have walked with. Peter is telling us, as well as the first century church, he's telling us that you can count on the word of the prophets because it has come true. He has seen it. But now, I want to direct your attention particularly to verse 20 and 21, because this is important to us today, and it's important to you in your apologetics. Remember the word apologetics? We haven't used that in a while, but it means simply to give a defense, to give a reason why you believe what you do. Verse 20 and 21 is one you should be using when someone says, scriptures are just written by men. You can't believe what they're saying. A bunch of old guys got together thousands of years ago and wrote the Bible. No, here's the argument against that. Verse 20. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Now, directly, this is speaking, as I said, of the Old Testament prophets. Indirectly, it is speaking of all Scripture. So where did Holy Scripture come from? What is the origin of the Scriptures you hold in your hand? Well, they come from the pen of Peter and Paul and Moses and David, Ezra, Nehemiah. The list goes on. But note how I said that. It came from the pen of. Who is the author of? The Holy Spirit. And the men wrote these things as they were carried along, meaning that their intellect, their will, their mind, their being was carried along and inspired to write what you have here in your hands, we call the Holy Scriptures. These are not men's origins. These are not of the desire of men. This is important to us because we must understand the origin of Scripture. Peter gives it to us here. Scholars all across our faith use these two verses to substantiate the origin of Scripture. What we see here in these words is that Peter is a good pastor. He's a good teacher. He is old and his days are growing short. And just as anyone you would have a conversation with that's on their deathbed, those conversations get serious. Those conversations get real. They're not talking about the weather. What is on Peter's heart here in his last days? His people. His people. Not himself. His people. So He says that it is good that we are reminded. He says it is good that we have our minds refreshed. And He says that it is good that we remember. Christianity is a faith of repetition. We shouldn't be teaching anything new. Please remember, this word you hold in your hands is true. And it can be trusted. We have these accounts. You can depend on them. And I pray that we all would do as Peter encourages. Simply remember what's been entrusted to us. Amen. Amen.